Job chapter 1. Praise God. Is everybody there? In verse 6. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Now, I want you to understand something, that here the Bible expresses that the sons of God were angels. Even Satan was a son of God. Hello? And it says, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? That's pretty powerful. Do you know that the Lord, there's a time when God says to Satan, have you considered my servant? And that's you. Now, the Lord used Job here to get at Satan. Okay? Because and the Lord kicked Satan's butt by Job maintaining his uprightness and not cursing God. Amen? But the one thing I want to share with you tonight, what the Lord put on my heart is, he says, my children don't know who they are. And the Lord wants to bring us to another realm, as he always does. The word tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is a representation of truth. One of the things we need to find out is who we are. Sometimes we need to find out what we were and who we are now. But the Lord wants us to understand that you and I are known as sons of God. Everybody that comes to this ministry sometimes in the discipleship house actually thinks that they're coming because they have a drug problem or alcohol problem. That's not true. That was just the excuse God used to get you here.
Amen.
You know, remember, the Lord created the beast, which was most cunning. God can out-con anybody for his glory. So we're all here because we are sons of God. That's that. And he wants us to know who we are. So we can see here that the sons of God, because the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So we know that the spiritual realm was created first. And the sons of God. God created angels to work on his behalf. So we know that the angels are known as sons of God. So understand that the original state of the sons of God were known as angels. Amen? They're, in fact, the Bible says that they're called the ministering spirits. Okay? So understand that the Lord is trying to bring us back to our original state of what we're supposed to be. We're called sons of God. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, angels have no gender, do they? So you got to understand something, that in the spirit realm, as a son of God, an angel was neither male nor female. It was both in character. All right. In fact, God himself, when Moses came to him, he said, I am that I am, because he's everything. God is a father, he's a mother, he's everything to me and you, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And his sons were created in his character, weren't they? So angels are a representation of his spirit, so they can become anything, can't they? If angels are ministering spirits, they can minister to you as a mom, they can minister to you as a father, they can minister to you as a whatever. Through the Spirit of the Lord, who the Holy Spirit moves through the angels too, doesn't he?
Amen?
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis 2. So you got to understand that Satan was also a son of God. He was an angel. Genesis 2 and verse 7. and you thought you had a problem. Hallelujah. And you thought you were just going to Bible study, or you're just going to services, or whatever. Oh, that we might know who we really are. In verse 7, would you read it with me? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Then the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now you got to understand something. The Lord put the man somewhere to train him up and teach him his ways, didn't he? Okay? Go to verse 15. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. So he was giving him responsibility. Adam was now ruler of the world. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall what? Surely die. So he gave him rules and regulations to train him. He gave him boundary lines. He told him things that would hurt him and things that would keep him. Now you got to understand that Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. Wasn't he? In verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. We got to understand something. Where did Adam get these names from? You know what I'm saying? Why? But you got to understand, Adam was not created as a child. He was created as an adult. He was created as a son of God, not a baby and not a child. A son of God, representation of adult. God imparted in him already wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He was the express image of God himself. But he wasn't God. But he was real close. Because he was a son of God, wasn't he? He was an expression of one of the angels, but brought in a different way. Does everybody understand that? Come from the earth. Come through the natural, into the natural realm, and in another realm. You know, it still blows my mind sometimes in how God coordinated this whole thing. You know, can't figure it out. That's when you realize, you know what, there's just some things we can't figure out. So why try? Just go for it. Hallelujah. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to the every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to him. To the man. So we know that, I like that part, amen? For all you hunters out there. Don't hunt, God will bring them to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we got to understand that the woman came from who? Adam. Why? Because Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. He was a son of God. Adam wasn't a representation of gender, he was a representation of character. Now he split them, didn't he? He took the woman out of man, that they would complement one another. Now look at it. And then Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And I'm not going to go into the history and whatever. I'm just going to share with you that they had glorified bodies. They were made eternal, not to die. They were made eternal. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Now, that's what God did, didn't he? So the Lord said, listen, a man shall leave me, his mother and his father, and be joined to his wife. And he gave him a woman, didn't he? And they shall become what? One flesh. Amen. One time. So both of them were going to complement one another. Amen. Now, we see here that in this realm of this character that God created Adam, out of him came a son, and you know what else came out of him? A daughter. So I want everyone to understand, first of all, that God calls sons of God, and not in representation of gender. So when you see the Bible written of sons of God, he does not mean male. Okay? So we can settle that right now. We're talking about sons of God. Sons of God meaning male and female. So the Father wanted children in both characters and genders as a reflection of himself being all things to a child. Does everybody understand that? God, you know, Jesus says that my brothers and sisters and mother and so forth are those who do my will, right? I mean, Paul said, I became many things that some may be saved and so forth. You know, there are single parents out there that have to be mother also. In fact, in each and every one of us, no matter what our gender is, there's still a part of the other gender. Not in its fullness, but there's still a part of the other gender and character of God. Amen? Because there's some single parents out there that have to be mom and dad. And they can do it. But the Word tells us that God started this whole thing off with Adam as in gender, of representation of male and female, in character, not in gender. And then when he split them, he created gender and split their characters that they could complement one another and eventually raise children, because God wanted to have children. Hello. He just didn't want to have sons of God. He wanted to have children that were brought forth as infant babes and so forth and brought up as children. So the Lord wanted to have children. One of the things he needs is me and you. Because he loves us. You know? We need him. But he created us because he first needed us. The Bible says that he loved us first, right? Before we even knew it. Okay. Go to John chapter 1. So we see then we had the angels as the sons of God, right? And then Adam became a son of God. And then of course, I'm sorry. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Hallelujah. So the Lord wanted to start a race of children, male and female. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Glory to God. Verify this one more time. In verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17 and 18. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what's unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Does everybody see that? So remember, sons of God are representation of his children, not in representation of gender. Amen? But he did say, come out from among them, didn't he? And don't touch unclean things. So we got to understand that something can disqualify us from walking as son. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I'll go to John 1. The book of John. The smoking book of John. Read John and it will smoke you. John chapter 1. And verse 6. John chapter 1 verse 6. Now does everybody understand that, right? That the angels were first known as the sons of God. Adam was the son of God in character and representation of father and mother within him. God separated him. God wanted to start a race of children. Okay? Hallelujah. you know, when a mother and father is able to give all things to a child. You know, it's just it's a powerful thing in the spirit of being able to feed a child through a mother and a father. Not that a single father or a single mother can't raise children, because it can be done. In verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. So he's talking about Jesus. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. Now understand something. He was known as light, wasn't he? And it said anyone who came to him or came to the light and received the light would become light. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. Would you read this with me? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. Now that's powerful. Born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now that's pretty intense. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in verse 18 it says, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So we know that Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. That's like God taking a part of himself and saying, you are now my Son, but you are me. I'm just taking a part of me and calling you Son, because he was God. Amen? Hallelujah. So we can verify here that Jesus was the Son of God, right? Part of him. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But he didn't have a rib. Hallelujah. So God took a part of himself and sent him into the natural realm. Amen? Praise God. So we see that anyone who received the light became a child of light. Not of flesh, not of the will of man, but the will of God. In other words, you were chosen. You were chosen. Because it said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. See, so you and I were chosen. You didn't choose to become a child of God. You were chosen to become a child of God. Amen? Amen? And you had to, before you could become his son, you had to receive his son. Go to John 12. No. Go to John 4. I'm sorry. John 4. Hold that thought. We'll go to 12 after 4. Anyone who received Jesus or the light became a child of light. So, as many as received, we became children of God, right? Okay, cool. Now, go to verse 24. What does it say? God is what? Spirit. Say it again. God is spirit. Whoa. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So understand this. If God is spirit and you're going to become his child, you know what you are? Hello? You know, I think that's one of the hardest things that we can't focus on. We're so busy looking at what we... and everybody else, we lose sight that we are a spirit. We're spirits. Every one of us in this room is a spirit. We just have this suit on to keep us in the natural realm. You know, in the moon, they got when they went on the moon, they had those moon suits. Lead shoes kept them from floating. Amen. Let me tell you, you take off this suit, you're out of here. But you're a spirit. Every one of us is a spirit. But we look in the mirror and we don't see spirit. We see, man, wake up. Because, see, what's happening is we've got to get to the place where your flesh doesn't carry your spirit carries your flesh. The problem people have a problem with all the time is because they let their flesh run their life instead of the spirit. And you're supposed to be a spirit.
So we're a spirit having human experience.
No, we're a spirit having the eternal experience. We're spirits, eternal, not spirits. Does everybody understand that temporary? We're eternal spirits. Has everybody got it? Just like Adam was created, right? Now his spirit, soul, and body was one. He didn't have flesh or blood. He had a glorified body. He was one with the Lord. He talked to God face to face, had no problem. He didn't die. He was made eternal. Well, you and I are made eternal, but it's starting inward and working out.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So we've got to understand that we're a spirit. You know, one day I was in prayer, and my hands were up to the Lord, and I was just praising the Lord. And I felt this tug in me, like this unction. And I was like, whoa. And next thing I know, the Lord was kneeling there in the spirit, and he put his hands out to me, and out of me came a little boy. I went to him, and I knew it was me. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
It was a little boy that came out of me and went to him. And I was still worshiping the Lord. I wanted to put that on a t-shirt, you know. Just because we got to understand we're spirits. That's why your spirit is to commune with God.
Amen.
But of course your spirit can commune with any other spirit too. But you and I are spirits. We're eternal. Now on the outside it's temporary because of what happened in the garden. But we're spirits. In fact, when you praise and worship in the Lord, you feel a tug of something going on sometimes. See, you can't get into the Holy of Holies, but your spirit can.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Okay. John 12.
Wow.
And let me share something with you. If you focus a little bit about your spirit communing with God, you won't get so caught up in your flesh communing with Him.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that? If you begin to focus and look at your spirit communing with God and your flesh, you can nullify your flesh from trying to commune with God. Hallelujah. Chapter 12 and verse 34. Read this with me. And the people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." So he says, the word, first of all, you got to understand, believe means to what?
Follow.
If you're not following, you're not a believer. I mean, that's just the way it is. You can't say Jesus is your Lord and Savior and not follow him. Then you're not a believer. You don't believe. Because what you believe, you follow. So he's saying if you'll follow the light, you'll become sons of light. Right? Children of light. Does everybody understand that? Praise God. Ephesians 1. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Ephesians 1. Glory to God. Start at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. And read it with me, please. Is everybody there? Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Hello? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So you've got to understand something. It was His good pleasure to adopt us as sons. It was His desire. We were predestined. We're spirits. The angels were known as sons of God. Adam was a son of God. You and I are now sons of God. We've got to get out of this realm where we're just flesh creatures. We've got to be looking further into the Spirit and not be so consumed with self, but get consumed in the Spirit and understand, if you really begin to focus, that this is nothing but a body or a shell that's holding you in. And if you begin to commune more in the Spirit, you won't be stumbling over your feet as much.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because there's no gravity in the Spirit, praise God. Go to Ephesians 5. In verse 8, it says, for what? Read it with me. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And of course He tells us, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them.
Huh.
But expose them. Let me tell you, some people don't like darkness being exposed, especially when it's in them. Hallelujah. But you and I are to be children of light. If we'll start walking more in the revelation of Spirit, we won't be so consumed in the flesh. Praise God. So, we were once darkness, but we're now light in the Lord. Don't let your light get turned out. Be dimmed up. It says, don't touch unclean things. There are things that qualify us and things that disqualify us. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Psalm 82. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wow. Praise God. Quick, simple teaching tonight. Psalm 82. And verse 5. Five and six. Would you read it with me? 82, 5 and 6. It says, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. Hello? I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Now check that out. Now he, notice it's a little g. God here, representation in authority, dominion. Just like Adam was created. Adam was given what? Dominion over everything, wasn't he? Well, once you become a child of the Most High God, you've been given dominion over everything. Far be it that our flesh should have dominion over us. Yeah, but, no buts. Make your yeses yes and your noes noes. And get the maybes behind you. Amen? So we are children of the Most High, given authority. Even the Word says in Psalm 91 that we will trample the scorpions and serpents, right? He's given us dominion over all things. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we follow the light, we are now children of light. Far be it that we should act like children of darkness, disobedient, and so forth. Right?
Amen.
Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15. Glory to the Lamb.
Glory.
Everybody say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
Of the Most High.
Of the Most High.
Wow, something happened. 1 Corinthians 15. See, when you're in that arena, then you can say, I'm a new creation in Christ, and old things have passed away. You know what? You can say it, but not believe it. Because you don't know who you are. I'm a child of the Most High. Praise God. Psalm 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. Is everybody with me? Read it with me. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And the last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. So you're a spirit. I'm a spirit. The first Adam became a living being. He was a son of God. The second Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now check this out. However, the spiritual man, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was the earth made of what?
Dust.
The second man is the Lord from heaven. I mean, that ought to tell people that there was God, right? As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, come on, read it with me, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Wow. Spirit. So while you and I are on this earth, we're still waiting for something else to happen. We need to shed this shell. We need to shed the shell. Amen? In the meantime, there's something we can do with it. To be, keep it quiet. In verse... So as we have borne the image of the man of the dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Praise be to God. And God is spirit and we are his children. It says in the second Adam was the Lord from heaven, a life-giving spirit. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The whole purpose of tonight is to bring a little bit of revelation and bring us into the arena that we are not just flesh and blood. We are spirits. But we are children of the Most High God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's read it. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Wow. We are not of night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be what? Sober. So, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him forever. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God, because we're eternal now. Hallelujah. Go to Romans 8. Come on, let's get down. Romans 8. And verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Why shouldn't we? We are spirits. We already have all things. The only thing that prevents us from getting whatever is your flesh. Hello? Of course, darkness wants to use your flesh, but if you open the door, the only way darkness can get to you is by you yielding to them in the flesh. Then they use your flesh. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So you and I are predestined. He says that we were called, justified, and glorified for His glory because we are children of light. You can look in the mirror all you want, but let me tell you, those little eyeballs and all, everything else is going to fall off one day. And the real you is going to come out. Glory to God. But you're going to look gorgeous. No blemishes, no wrinkles. No red eyes. Praise God. You won't have to shave anymore.
Praise
God. Play basketball with no court. Go scuba diving with no gear. Hallelujah. Just think it and you're gonna be there. Cause see, there is no distance in the spirit realm. Right now you and I are cruising through eternity. The whole universe is cruising through eternity. We're just, there's a beginning and the end of the universe, you know. It's like a square. Look at the universe as an aquarium. And us as the little fishies. Amen? The thing is we're not going to be bound to it one day. So this aquarium that is, if you saw somebody pick up an aquarium and throw it, you and I are cruising through eternity right now. Because before the universe was created, there was eternity. And at the end of the universe, there is eternity. Because the universe is going to be swallowed up into eternity. And there won't be anything. There won't be no more sun, no more moon, no more nothing. Because we're eternal. We're just here to be trained for an eternal purpose. Because we're sons of the Most High. We're spirits. We're not flesh creatures, even though we have to keep beating down the flesh. That's why the Bible says, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You know who is in the world? Your flesh. Hallelujah. And darkness wants to use it and overtake it. Wants to get to you. Praise God. Let's go to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. You know, like I said, you can quote all everything. You can have truth right in front of you and not believe it. Believe me, there's a lot of guys that I associate with that know truth, but they don't believe it. Because if they knew it, they would do it. Oh, hallelujah. See, you have to believe the truth to set you free, not just know it. Oh, hallelujah. What did I say? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Read it with me. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. In other words, what you shall look like. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Woohoo! Soon. Now, go to verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. Wow. See, so this hope that we have is we should be looking for to see in Him. Because you and I are a spirit. You know, sometimes I just want to unzip this suit. Zip. Hang it in the closet for a while and go out and play. Hallelujah. Well, we can do that by putting the suit underneath your feet. You can play in the Spirit and have a good time. Being a child of the Most High God, that's the difference of those who set their mind on the flesh and those who set their mind on the Spirit. Don't get so caught up and consumed of what you don't have. Or what you do have and keep trying to protect it. Get caught up in the Spirit and understand that in you is the Spirit. You, the real you, is in you.
Amen.
Go to Galatians 4. So it says that the world doesn't know us, right? It doesn't know us. Come on, you get around some old friends of yours, right? Man, who are you? I'll never forget when I got off the plane, first time I'd seen my wife in a long time. We were divorced, of course, that's why I didn't see her. And I got off the plane and she looked at me, poked me and said, "You're an alien." I was the Son of the Most High. She couldn't understand it. She didn't know me. She knew me on the outside as a figure. She, you know, I mean, I lived with her for 10 years or so. Married 8 years. So she knew me. But she didn't know me. Because I was a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
Totally new. She couldn't figure it out. She knew that she knew me, but she didn't know me.
Amen.
And the world looks at you the same way. They know you, but they don't know you. They used to know you because of your character, but your character has changed because you're a son of the Most High. Even though we may act like a little flesh creature now and then. That's what they're looking for. That's the person I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Then you got to beat that thing down. Praise God. Galatians 4. So the world doesn't know you, but does everybody get that? Glory to God. I know you, but I don't know you. You alien, you? Praise God. I'm not from this world. That's why you don't know me. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. 6 and 7. For in Christ Jesus... Oh, I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 4. I can get there. Oh, let's... Ooh. Let's go to 4. Verse 4. Oh, let's start at verse 3. No, one. No, no. Come on. Verse 3. Galatians 4, 3. Let's read it. Verse 3, okay? Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now understand, the word Abba means daddy. Amen. So now we become His sons, and we call Him daddy. I remember pulling in a place one day, and the person I had in the car said, man, you can't park here. I said, baloney, my father owns this place. I was just, for a second. I wasn't. Man, this apartment. All right, Dad owns this apartment, man. Man, you must be wealthy. I am. I'm rich. Explicitly rich. I have everything because my father owns everything and created everything. And he's given everything to me. Praise God. Do I need it? No. When I need it, he'll give it to me. Or Nan, if I know the owner, I have part of it. Verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a what? Son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. Whoa. And we serve the varmints who run on this earth known as demons. Satan as their father. Hallelujah. No longer a slave of the world, but sons. So He sent His Spirit into me and you. Gave us a new spirit. Amen. Gave us His Spirit so we could be mentored. So you and I have a private nanny. We have a private mentor. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you and guide you. But there's something you must do. Obey. Listen. And don't let your flesh run you, but stay in the Spirit. Amen? Luke 20. So the next time you say you're a child of the Most High guy, next time you say that you're a child of the Most High, not that you're a guy or a dude, you're a child of the Most High. You're not going to look at yourself in the natural, you're going to look at yourself in the Spirit. Yes. In Luke chapter 20, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Uh-oh, do I have Luke in here? Yeah. Praise God. Luke 20, and verse 34. So next time somebody says you, hi guy, or hey man, say, son. Son of the Most High. In Luke 20 and verse 34, Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. nor can they die anymore. For they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Does everybody see that? Just like the sons of God were as angels, you and I are being redeemed to become sons of God. So right now, you're an eternal being. When you shed this flesh suit, you will be like an angel. Not that you will be an angel, you'll have a character of one as a son, eternal being. Amen? Everybody got it? Matthew 5. Hallelujah. So those who are not saved, who's their father? Think about it. In verse 9, read it with me, please. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Whoa. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? So we need to be peacemakers, right? We're on a mission. Peacemaker. You know what brings you peace? Release you from torment. When you're released from torment, you have peace, right? Torment is being under the rule of this world. Peace is being under the rule of Christ. Amen? So you and I must be peacemakers. And our purpose is to rescue as many souls as we can from the torments of the world and bring them into the peace and eternal life of Christ. They may become sons of God or sons and daughters of God. Right? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 4. Starting at verse 1. How many here is a son of God?
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Starting in verse 1 in Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I love this. Praise God. And when he had fasted 40 days and nights, afterward he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, what? If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Let me share something with you very important. The devil was going to try and disqualify you as a son of God. That's the first thing he tried to do with Jesus. In three arenas, he's going to tempt you. You are tempted to be disqualified as a son of God. That's his main purpose. He's not tempting you to sin. He's tempting you to disqualify yourself. Of course, when you accept his temptation, you end up sinning anyways, which brings a curse and a judgment of God. But you must understand that he's trying to create spiritual death, spiritual abortion. His purpose is to disqualify you as a son of God. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. Right? So as a man thinks of himself, so he is. So you and I must turn our ways of thinking into the spirit realm and get our focus off the natural realm. And let God build the house. Sometimes our mind is running so quickly in trying to resolve this, resolve that, do stuff in the back in past life, what I need to do today, what I need to do to this, reason this, then figure out that. We lose sight. We're so caught up in the flesh. Man, we lose sight that we are spirits, and you don't have to be caught up in the flesh. Because when you're caught up in the spirit, the battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So Jesus was tempted the same way Eve was tempted, who deceived Adam. Does everybody see that? Because Adam was a son of God, right? Now, Adam was a son of God, was tempted. He bit the bait from his wife. She bit the bait from Satan. And they both got disqualified as sons of God. Okay? They lost character of God. They lost rule and dominion. Believe me, God has rule and dominion. When you're His son, you have rule and dominion. The one thing you must have rule and dominion is over your flesh. That's a son. Amen? Second thing is rule and dominion over the powers of darkness. The Bible says in Mark 16, those who believe, these signs will follow those who follow me. And the first thing it says is, in my name they're going to cast out devils. Hallelujah. They're going to speak with new tongues. Glory to God. You know, when you become a son of God, you get a new tongue. The other one needs a goal. Amen? The carnal tongue needs a goal. But depending where you are in the spirit and where you are determines what how much dominion you have over your members. So Satan is always going to tempt you to disqualify you as a son of God. Does everybody understand that? And he tempts you by the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are the only three ways he can tempt you. Of course, he uses many means to do it. But once his purpose is to disqualify you as a son of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we know Adam and Eve were disqualified. Jesus came and overcame. So now you and I can come under Jesus. We can become, He made the way for you and I to become sons of God. So now that we are sons of God, we must maintain the qualification all the time. We cannot allow the powers of darkness to disqualify us as a son of God. Because if they can disqualify you, then they have dominion over you. The fatal battlefield is where? In the mind. Go to Romans 8, please. Oh, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Go to Hebrews 11. Hold on a second. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Now, understand something. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Temptation was also to be tested. Now, the Spirit's going to lead you to be tested. One of the reasons why He's allowing you to be tested is so that you know who you are. You can't go out and fulfill an office in ministry or fulfill a purpose of the will of God in fullness until you know who you are. You're to fulfill, you're going to be tested as a son of God. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11. Now, when you blow it and you ask for forgiveness, you're going to reap. That's okay. Because the Lord loves you. He loves me too. Believe me, we reap. But I'd rather reap with Jesus than without Him. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. I believe. Now let's start somewhere. Uh-oh. I think it was 11. Hallelujah. Maybe it's 10. Well, maybe it's not Hebrews at all. Praise God. But it ain't that. Okay. Let's not go there. Okay, get your erasers out. Hallelujah. It's not what I'm looking for. No. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. One thing I want to share, though, is that, you know, the Bible tells us about being chastened. God corrects His sons. Amen?
Amen.
God corrects His sons.
Yes.
anyone who's not willing to receive correction is not a son. The Word tells us that anyone who's, if a natural father is willing to give you correction, well, your spiritual father is also going to do. Far be it that we should be so concerned about, lose sight that the natural father who corrects us, or mother or parent, and that we should ignore that and ignore a father who is a father of spirit. Does everybody understand that? So you and I are going to be chastened and corrected because God is molding me and you into His image and likeness. It's going to happen. We must be able to receive it and learn from it. We must... 12? 12:5. Let's go there. Hebrews 12:5? Thank you. Ah, there it is. Hebrews 12:5. And you haven't forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Read it with me. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Praise God. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. Hello. Don't despise and don't get discouraged. For whom the Lord loves, He what? Chastens. And scourges every son whom He receives. He who sows his flesh reaps corruption. The only reason why God chastens us is because we touched something unclean or we did something to deserve chastening. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. In other words, if you're willing to receive it and go through it without grumbling and complaining, just do it and accept it because His purpose is much higher than what your purpose is and His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, or of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Amen. Why? Because we are spirits, and He's our Father. And He's trying to keep us in the Spirit. Amen? I'll go to Romans 8. Thank you. I knew it was in Hebrews somewhere. Praise God. Romans 8. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Start at verse 13 and let's all read this in Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So if you're living in the Spirit, you're going to put the deeds of the body, the flesh, to death. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now you got to understand something. This is the most important thing. This is why the devil tempts you. He tempted Jesus with three temptations, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, to try and get Him out of the Spirit. He did it with Eve and Adam, and they both were removed from the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? It disqualified them as sons and daughters of God. Put them in the flesh. And they stayed there ever since till Jesus came and made a way for me and you to get from underneath the ruler of this world. The devil is going to tempt you to try and get you out of the Spirit. Because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. That's why the Bible says many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. What are they listening to? The voice of the stranger moves them out of the Spirit. They get fleshly, disqualifies them as a son of God, and the devil knows when you're disqualified. He knows it. And he's going to try and keep you there. Because see, he knows that you are a son of God, but he wants you to be disqualified of knowing it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what?
Fear.
But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means Daddy. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory with which will be revealed, where? In us. Does everybody see that? The glory that will be revealed in us because we are sons of God, we are spirits. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the what? Do you understand that even God's creation is waiting for you to become your mature Son of God and shed your flesh and put on the glorified body? All of creation is waiting for me and you. Oh, if we could just comprehend that. Because we are sons of God. All things are created for Him and through Him. Well, everything was created for me and you, you know. The whole universe was created for me and you. We just don't get it. We get so caught up in the flesh and in the natural realm, we lose sight that we are spirits and sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the what? Children of God. So all of creation is going to be delivered to me and you. Because we are sons of God. 1 John chapter 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sons of God. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 10. Somewhere around there. Let's start at verse 7. Read it with me. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now listen, if the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, you and I have been manifested as sons of God to continue to destroy the works of the devil. Do you understand that? Whoever has been born of God does not sin, or does not let sin reign over him. For his seed remains in him and he cannot sin. Because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Does everybody got it? I hope so. Galatians 5. Couple more scriptures. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. I had a gentleman come up to me the other day and say, "Man, what nationality are you?" I said, "I'm Christ." He said, "No, really, what nationality are you?" I said, "Man, I'm Christ." He didn't get it. He kept saying, "Man, no, really, what nationality?" I said, "Man, I'm Christ. My nationality is from heaven. I am not of this world, even though I walk in it." I'm no longer Italian or Sicilian or a bonehead. Flesh creature and so forth. Ungodly and all the other things. I'm a son of the Most High. Anointed, sanctified, justified, and glorified. I am an heir of the Most High. I'm an heir of Christ, an offspring of the Anointed One and His anointing and the seed of Abraham. I am not of this world. I'm only cruising through it. And I'm going to take as many home as I can with me. Praise God. And those whose new nationality is Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become what? Conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Stay in the Spirit and quit provoking one another. Amen? Envying one another. That's works of the flesh. Yeah, but you don't understand, man. Just keep your mouth quiet. Keep your hands down. Keep your mind on the things of the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? Amen? Listen and be obedient. And quit trying to do your will and do the will of the Lord, and you'll have no problem. Yeah, but I got to get this. And I quit getting pushed and start being led. It didn't say those who were pushed were sons of God. It says those who are led. Amen? 1 John chapter 5. Glory to God. Yeah, but I want. I gotta have. You don't understand. It's some push, isn't it? The only thing you and I need is Him. When we have Him, we have everything. Right? The whole thing is we need to know who we are. And you already have everything. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Read it with me, please. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now you got to understand. He said whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. Some people don't understand what Christ is. He's the Anointed One and His anointing. He's the power of Christ. He's the power of God Almighty. He was God Himself. They don't understand it. They only look at Jesus as a man and a natural man. They look at Him as a Son of God, but not as Christ. Hello? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him, who begot also loves Him, who is begotten of Him. You're begotten of Him now. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And whatever is born of God, what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Praise God. Because you're sons of God. And let's close it. Philippians chapter 2. Who are you? Children of the Most High, light, sons of God. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, I believe. Yeah, that sounds good. Would you read it with me? 12 to 16. Is everybody there? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hello. Work out your own salvation. No one else can save you. Only the Lord can save you. So he says, if you'll work it out, because the Bible says faith without works is dead. Right? So you need to work it out. What do you mean work it out? Right, God has set a plan of salvation for you, a redemption plan. Make it to the end. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, but I believe once saved, always saved. Well, you're deceived. No problem. I wouldn't want to be the one that believes that you can fornicate and do all kinds of stuff. Amen. And make it home. Amen. I wouldn't even take the chance. You'll lose. Real simple. Flesh creatures. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He wouldn't put that in there if we didn't have to work it out. Hello? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing. That you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Yes.
We are sons of God. We're spirits eternal. Let's start acting like it. Let's start focusing like it. Listen, when you start praising and worshiping the Lord, don't look at you doing it. Look at your spirit.
Amen.
Ministering to the Lord. Amen. Let your spirit come right out and minister to the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask for revelation, confirmation, and manifestation. Lord, let the anointing of your spirit separate our flesh and the yoke of bondage. Separate the old man. Lord, we ask that you'll continue to open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our heart to receive, that our spirit will be made strong, taking dominion over our members, over our past, over our present, that you would prepare our future in the spirit for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said...